Welcome to this deep dive. Today we are looking at a brand new feature release from ClickShip.
Yeah, it's their new add-on, right? The one they're calling Scan and Ship.
Exactly. Scan and Ship. And our mission today for you, our listener, is to really explore how a micro adjustment at a warehouse packing station can fundamentally rescue a business's bottom line.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And completely reshape the customer experience while they're at it.
Right. Because the life cycle of a successful delivery, it doesn't actually start with the delivery truck backing into the loading dock.
No, not at
all. It starts way earlier. It starts with a sort of butterfly effect of a warehouse worker just reaching for an item on a shelf.
Yeah, and joining you to help unpack the whole operational philosophy behind this feature is me. And we are looking at a really fascinating pivot here in how companies manage operational control.
It really is fascinating.
Because a tiny, almost imperceptible event in one place, like you said, the butterfly effect, it creates this massive wave somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
When that warehouse worker reaches for the wrong item, the resulting tsunami of honestly completely avoidable work, it just alters everything downstream.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because to understand why a tool like Scan and Ship even exists in the first place, I mean, we really have to look at the baseline of how a lot of operations still function today.
Right, the old way.
Yeah, what the source material refers to as the manual visual check.
Yeah.
Which, you know, on paper, it sounds like a perfectly reasonable workflow.
Sure, it sounds totally fine. You look at the order slip, you look at the item in your hand, you confirm they match, and you just put it in the box.
Simple.
Right, simple. But the flaw in that logic is that it depends entirely on human memory.
Right.
And sustained concentration. Not to mention just the physical ability to distinguish similar products rapidly, like under intense pressure.
Oh, pressure, yeah.
Human brains are remarkably powerful, obviously, but they are absolutely not wired to perform repetitive, high-speed visual verification perfectly for, 8 hours straight.
Right. Cognitive fatigue sets in.
Exactly. Cognitive fatigue hits, and the brain just starts taking shortcuts.
I think anyone who has ever gone grocery shopping after, a brutal day at work can totally relate to those cognitive shortcuts.
Oh, 100%.
You know, you're exhausted, you're rushing through the produce aisle, and your recipe calls for parsley.
Okay, I see where you're going with this.
Right. You see a bunch of green leafy herbs, you just confidently grab one, toss it into your cart, and mentally check it off your list.
Mm-hmm.
In that split second, your tired brain just says, green, leafy, roughly the right shape.
Yeah.
Good enough.
Good enough, exactly. And you don't even realize the mistake until you're halfway through cooking dinner and you discover you bought cilantro instead of parsley.
Exactly. It ruins the whole recipe.
Right. And that heuristic, that mental shortcut you just described, that is a perfect proxy for what happens on a warehouse floor during peak shipping periods.
When it's just chaos.
When it's absolute chaos. Order volume spike. Teams are grinding through these massive pick and pack queues, and the visual check system just simply collapses. The source gives some really excellent examples of this vulnerability, actually. Imagine an apparel catalog. You have two shirts that are the exact same color, exact same style, but
one is a medium and one is the large.
Precisely.
Or think about electronic components. Like, you are staring at two replacement parts that look literally identical to the naked eye.
Right. They look exactly the same.
Maybe they're even stored right next to each other on the shelf, but they serve entirely different hardware models.
Yeah. And the visual differences are microscopic, especially under, harsh warehouse lighting.
Right.
And the cost of that cilantro for parsley mistake, when we put it in a business context, it isn't just an annoyed customer. It triggers what the text calls the ripple effect.
The ripple effect, yeah.
A single mispick unleashes an entire cascade of logistical failures.
Well, and it doesn't just result in a bad review. I mean, it actively poisoned your internal data.
Oh, completely.
Like, your system thinks you still have that medium shirt left in stock, but you actually just shipped it to someone who ordered a large. So now you have ghost inventory.
Ghost inventory is a nightmare.
It really is.
Yeah.
The next customer who orders that medium shirt is basically just setting themselves up for a cancellation notice a few days later.
Exactly.
Which creates a secondary failure entirely born from that first mistake.
And the financial bleeding from that first mistake is severe. I mean, double the labor is really just the starting point.
Right, because they have to pack it again.
because your warehouse staff now has to locate the correct item and pack the entire order a second time. And the business is buying a second shipping label.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
They're paying for return transportation for the incorrect item. They're burning through replacement packaging. And honestly, they're likely issuing a partial or full refund just to salvage the customer relationship.
The source material also points out the magnified impact when the item is critical.
Yes.
Like if the customer needed that specific electronic component to fix a machine before a massive production deadline.
Right. Or if that apparel was for a specific event like a wedding.
The fallout is just exponential. Yeah. You didn't just buy the wrong herb. You ruined the anniversary dinner.
Exactly. And because correcting an error after the package has left the facility is such a logistical nightmare, the intervention really has to happen much earlier in the timeline.
It has to.
The only effective place to stop the ripple effect is right before the cardboard box is taped shut.
Which brings us to the mechanics of this scan and ship intervention.
Right.
ClickShip is basically introducing this add-on to act as a definitive gatekeeper at the packing station.
A gatekeeper.
Instead of a worker bouncing their eyes back and forth between a computer screen and a cardboard box and just like hoping they got it right, the software completely alters the physical experience of packing.
It really does.
You pull up the order, and the system literally will not let you generate the shipping label until every single physical item has been scanned into that box.
It creates this completely closed-loop system. Like, the packer opens the order in ClickShip. They review the product list before they even touch the physical box. Then, as the product goes into the package, they scan it.
Right, they scan each item.
And that scan acts as the verification key. The system tracks the progress. It cross-references the scanned barcode against the expected order list in real time, and then, and only then, completes the verification so they can finish the shipment.
Okay, wait a minute. If a warehouse is dealing with massive order volumes, doesn't scanning every single individual item just slow the entire assembly line down?
I get that question a lot.
Like playing devil's advocate here. If you're in the middle of a Black Friday rush, a visual check takes a fraction of a second.
Right.
But scanning requires a deliberate, targeted physical action for every single unit. Doesn't that hurt throughput?
What's fascinating here is how the tool is actually designed to support the physical flow of the packing station rather than fighting against it.
Okay.
That tension between speed and accuracy, that is exactly what this software targets. Think about the physical motion of the old way for a second. A packer grabs 5 items, dumps them in the box, and then stops.
Yeah.
They look at the monitor, look down into the box, and try to mentally verify a pile of products all at once. That is a separate administrative review phase, just sort of tacked on to the end of the packing motion.
Okay. Yeah. I see where you're going with this. Instead of packing the items and then playing, like, spot the difference at the end, the verification is baked directly into the actual arm motion of placing the item in the box.
Precisely. The scan becomes the packing motion. It's one order, one product, one confirmation at a time.
Wow.
And the auditory beep of the scanner provides instant feedback. It entirely removes the cognitive load from the worker. They don't have to remember if they grab the medium or the large. The scanner does the thinking for them.
Right.
It shifts order accuracy from being this reactive customer service goal where you just cross your fingers and deal with the fallout later to a proactive operational standard enforced in real time.
That makes perfect sense when you consider all those downstream costs we just discussed. Mm. I mean, catching the wrong size shirt while the worker is literally still physically holding it costs absolutely nothing.
Exactly nothing.
But, you know, a great software feature is completely useless if the workforce on the floor cannot seamlessly integrate it into their specific environment. And warehouses are notoriously diverse and chaotic ecosystems.
Oh, incredibly chaotic. The physical reality of a warehouse floor demands absolute flexibility. A rigid system will simply be bypassed by workers who are just trying to hit their quotas.
Well, here's where it gets really interesting for me. The source text highlights a very surprising detail about this feature. You don't actually need barcode scanning hardware to use it.
Right.
Manual SKU U or barcode entry provides the exact same verification support within the software.
And that hardware independence, it completely changes the adoption curve for a tool like this.
It really does.
It democratizes the technology. A small e-commerce brand, you know, fulfilling orders out of a garage or a tiny retail backroom, they don't have to invest thousands of dollars in enterprise-grade scanning hardware just to enforce quality control.
Right. They can just use manual entry as a practical starting point, just typing in the suck you to unlock the shipment.
Exactly. And the text also points out that even massive warehouses with highly automated lines, they still benefit from that manual fallback.
How so?
Well, if a scanner breaks in the middle of a shift, the line doesn't just die. The worker just pivots to manual entry.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Or if a barcode is damaged or printed poorly, which, let's be honest, happens constantly in real-world logistics, the packer just types the number in and the process continues. It doesn't replace the shipping workflow teams already know. It just adds a checkpoint before package editing and rate selection.
It's an insertion into the workflow rather than a total replacement. And when we look at where this is actually being applied, I mean, the stakes become very clear.
Very clear.
The source highlights businesses handling multi-item orders, massive catalogs, or products with incredibly similar visual characteristics. Like, the subscription box industry is a perfect example mentioned in the text.
Oh, definitely.
In that sector, the unboxing experience itself is the product. You are selling a curated kit.
Right.
If a customer opens their monthly box and one of the six promised items is just missing, the entire curated narrative you sold them falls flat. The verification process ensures every single component is present before that box is sealed.
And the health and beauty industry faces an even steeper visual challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. A warehouse might stock 30 different shades of foundation in identical glass bottles.
Right.
The visual difference between, say, warm sand and cool beige is completely negligible under harsh fluorescent warehouse lighting.
Or identifying model-specific electronic accessories.
That's a great example.
A USB-C charging cable looks nearly identical to certain proprietary cables at a quick glance. But if you ship the wrong one, the customer's expensive device is entirely useless to them.
Entirely useless. But, you know, even if the hardware is flexible and the software catches all those microscopic visual differences, the workforce operating it is entirely fluid.
Yeah.
Warehouses deal with massive seasonal turnover. Managing growth places incredible pressure on fulfillment operations.
For sure.
When a business adds 50 seasonal temps for the holidays, extends their operating hours, or transitions to a larger facility, those informal processes based on veteran memory completely fracture.
Right, because the veteran packer, who knows the entire catalog by heart, they can't pack every single box.
Exactly.
You have a floor full of new hires who don't know the difference between product A and product B, and they are terrified of slowing down the line.
And when visual checks are the standard, quality control plummets, the second order volume rises, and new staff hit the floor. Scan and ship just removes the guesswork entirely.
It really does.
It gives those new employees a crystal clear, foolproof process to follow from their very first hour on the job. Scan the item, wait for the system confirmation, put it in the box.
It gives management absolute confidence.
Mm-hmm.
That regardless of whether a 10-year veteran or a day one temp is working the packing station, the exact same pre-shipment controls are being enforced.
Right, which leads directly into the metrics.
Okay, yeah.
Because if a business implements this system, trains the staff, gets the scanners running, the operational impact needs to be quantified. You have to measure if it's actually working.
So moving from the packing station to the manager's desk.
Exactly. And the source material provides a very specific framework for evaluating success.
Well, the text suggests tracking customer reports of wrong, missing, or extra products, obviously looking for that number to drop.
Naturally.
But you also have to monitor the frequency of replacement shipments, like how often your team is actively prepping a second box strictly because of a packing mistake.
Yes, and monitoring support contacts is another critical metric. I mean, the sheer volume of hours customer service spends investigating missing product claims is a massive hidden cost.
Nice.
But the most insightful metric the text calls out, in my opinion, is the need to separate returns linked to fulfillment from general product returns.
That is such a crucial distinction.
It really is.
Because if a customer clicks return on a website and selects, you know, wrong size from a drop-down menu, the accounting department probably just logs that as a standard product return.
Right. They chalk it up to a fickle customer.
Exactly. They don't realize the warehouse actually grabbed the wrong item to begin with.
The fulfillment failure is entirely masked within standard return metrics. A tool like this exposes that hidden operational bleed.
But this brings me back to the time equation. If we are tracking all these metrics, how do we measure packing speed fairly now that we've added a mandatory physical checkpoint?
Oh, the speed question again?
Right, because if I just look at a stopwatch at the packing station, the process of scanning each item might genuinely take slightly longer per box than the old visual sweep.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the source material offers a brilliant reframing of how we define efficiency. When evaluating the operational impact, you cannot just look at the stopwatch at the packing station. You have to compare the time required per order while accounting for the drastic reduction in corrections, reshipments, and support tickets.
Oh, I see. So a small, momentary increase in packing time at the station is actually a massive win for the business as a whole.
Exactly. That deliberate micropause to scan an item eliminates the downstream errors, the replacement labels, the returns processing, all those customer service investigations.
Right.
When you factor those in, the overall cost and effort required to complete a truly accurate order drops significantly. Fast fulfillment matters, obviously, but speed requires a reliable process behind it.
Because if you are rushing to ship 1,000 boxes a day, but 100 of them are wrong, you aren't actually fast.
Not at all.
You are just generating future work for yourself at an incredibly rapid pace. You're just manufacturing your own bottlenecks. And I think there is a broader application here for you, our listener, regardless of your specific industry. Whether you are managing a massive global supply chain, running a small e-commerce side hustle, or simply trying to optimize your own daily professional workflows.
The underlying principle applies everywhere.
It really does. The text offers this highly practical philosophy. Pause when details do not align.
I love that.
Building in a standard mandatory checkpoint to verify your work before it moves down the line, whatever your personal assembly line happens to be, it saves exponentially more time downstream.
Exactly.
It is entirely about front-loading the verification so you do not have to backload the apologies and the rework.
It is a fundamental shift from reaction to prevention.
We have covered incredible ground today, moving from the cognitive flaws of human memory during repetitive tasks all the way to the physical mechanics of software integration on a warehouse floor.
We really have.
To summarize the source material, scan and ship is ultimately about bringing a definitive, unyielding layer of control to what is often a highly chaotic environment. It ensures that the right products leave the facility on the first attempt, every single time, by embedding the verification directly into the physical act of packing.
It completely removes the burden of perfection from the human worker and places it securely on the system.
So what does this all mean? It means that in the modern economy, where customer expectations for flawless delivery are incredibly high and operational margins are often razor thin, relying on exhausted human memory to perform a machine's verification job is just a luxury businesses can no longer afford.
It really is.
We cannot expect tired eyes to perfectly differentiate between identical barcodes. We have to design systems that protect the worker from their own cognitive fatigue.
I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over. Building on the concepts we've explored today,
oh, absolutely.
We have examined how technology can almost eliminate human error by enforcing a micropause at the packing station, the deliberate scan of a barcode. But think about the sheer volume of data being generated by those physical interactions. Every single time a worker scans an item, a timestamp is created. Fractions of a second are recorded.
The system is tracking millions of physical arm motions across a warehouse.
Exactly. So how long until the data gathered from those precise scanning rhythms is used to entirely redesign the physical layout of the warehouse itself?
Oh, wow.
Could the timing of those scans eventually fuel predictive models that dictate exactly which items should sit next to each other on the shelves just to optimize a packer's physical motion?
That's wild.
We are starting with simply verifying the contents of a cardboard box, but we might end up predicting the entire architecture of global fulfillment based purely on the rhythm of a barcode scanner.
From catching the wrong bunch of cilantro to completely redesigning the grocery store based on the exact millisecond you reach for the parsley.
Exactly.
It all comes back to that butterfly effect at the packing station. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.